If you'll open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I kind of wanted to dovetail off of what Jonathan, well, not dovetail, the message is going to tie in a lot to what Jonathan was talking about when he opened the service today in Ephesians, and what Joe has said, and what I want to tie in with what Joe has said, you know, talking about prayer and the power of prayer. You know, everyone knows Billy Graham. When you say the name Billy Graham, everybody knows that name. And one of the things that Billy Graham had said towards the end of his life, as they asked him the question, what would you have changed about your ministry? What would you have done differently if you'd done anything differently? What would you have done? And he said, prayed more. He didn't even miss a beat. Prayed more. I'd prayed more. Billy Graham was one of those men who understood the power of prayer. They would go and he would speak and evangelize to tens of thousands of people at one time in stadiums full of people. There was he's one of those men that at that time, he knew what it meant to need prayer to go and speak to a group of people because they needed to know who Jesus is. So he would pray. They would pray before they set those events up. For months, they would pray leading up to those events. Months. They're praying. They'd go to the town. They'd pray over it. They'd be praying over people. They'd pray over each other. They'd pray and pray. And he said, I need to pray more. We need to pray more. I'll tell you what, guys. Don't ever give up on the power of prayer. And to tie in with that, another thing is, prayer isn't just about shouting out what we need to God. It's hearing from God and then being obedient in that. That's a big part of prayer. Joe was sitting there talking about marriages. You know, if we're in a marriage and things are tough and you're praying, you know, I think I've told you guys this story before. You know, you pray, Lord, I know I'm right, so just change my spouse's mind. Who could identify with me on that? Come on. I'm not the only one, right? Thank you. Get a hand up here. Nice. Nice to have some reciprocation here. The truth about it is, though, it's amazing because I'll never forget in my work truck, and I used to tend gas and oil wells, you know, and I'm all dirty and grimy, and I'm praying, driving down the road. Jamie and I had a fight, and I'm like, Lord, you know I'm right. Why can't you just show her that I'm right? And something came on the radio through K-Love at exactly that time. It said, you know, this guy gets on and goes, I was praying, same thing, as praying that my spouse would understand that I was right, and the Lord hit me at that time and said, listen, yes, I might need to change her, but you need to change as well. What? But I'm perfect, Lord. And it makes me think about that song that's on the radio, you know, that I can't remember who sings it. I just know the words of the song are somewhat equate to this, that, Lord, you made me in your image. There's nothing that you would change. Jesus died to bring about change in our lives. Don't be fooled by saying that we're just sitting here perfect. We're not. We're not perfect. Jesus died because we are imperfect. He is perfect. And he came to bring us this message of hope that he would redeem us, that he would restore us back to this relationship with God. Our imperfection doesn't come from making mistakes, but from sin, actual sin, intentional decisions made away from the will of God. And that's why obedience comes into this, being obedient to the will of God in our lives. We pray and God gives us something. We say, certainly that's not the thing, right? That seems really hard. Certainly you wouldn't want me to do that, right? Think about that rich young ruler when he came up and approached Jesus. And he said, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus told him about these, you know, love the Lord with all your heart, love your neighbors. I'm already doing all that. What else? See, there was something else in his heart. There was something else that was convicting him. God was telling him something. What else is there? What else? There has to be something else. And Jesus says, there is. Now that you asked. And don't forget, prayer is talking to Jesus, isn't it? He's sitting there talking to Jesus. What else is there, Jesus? What else is in my life? What else is holding me back from this understanding of who you are and this great salvation that I can experience? What else is holding me back? He says, you know what? Your possessions and all your money and your idea of those possessions and money. Not your possessions and your money are holding you back. It's how you look at them. It's how you're holding them to such a high standard. So you need to get rid of those so you can have a relationship with me because those are getting in the way. Now, am I telling everybody here we need to get rid of all our possessions? I'm not saying that at all. Jesus used an instance in the Bible of that one person that was asking a question. My question, that is, what's God saying to you when you ask that question to him? When you're in prayer and Jesus says, this is the thing, what is the thing for you? What is the thing that's on your heart that's like, man, I don't know if I can ever let go of that. If you don't think it's something you can let go of, that's your idol. That's the idol that's holding you back. Even if it's another relationship. I've heard this said thousands of times, and I think about this a lot. What if it's your kids? Now, does that mean we just send our kids? No, that's not what I'm saying. But our relationship with God is tied in even greater than that. These earthly relationships that we have are wonderful, but the relationship with God, that's where the relationships here have to flow from. Right? So there's nothing on earth that should get in the way of our relationship with God. Whether it be a relationship, whether it be anything else that holds us back. There's something that God points out to us and he says, okay, here it is. Now, will we be obedient in that? Will we be able to let that thing go, whatever it might be? Will we be able to step into that place where God asks us to step? We're talking about this in Sunday school a little bit this morning. When the Holy Spirit really works in the lives of believers, the Holy Spirit encourages not just to walk down the right path, but along the right path, we're all engaging in kingdom work. We're not just sitting here going to church on a Sunday and then not going to church again until next Sunday and nothing happens with the kingdom in between. The Holy Spirit doesn't work like that. The Holy Spirit's at work in our lives. If we're active with the Holy Spirit, there are things that we are doing throughout the week in the kingdom. It's not just a Sunday to Sunday thing, guys. That's not what the church is. This place here, the walls, the bricks, the mortar, whatever it is, this is just a building where the church meets. That's what this is about. Relationship with God and the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. Where are we active in the kingdom? Now, we have to be new, made new. And that's what Jesus has come to do. Let's talk about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's work through some of these things. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life." Think about that. Mortality, the understanding that this is temporary. This house, this body that we have that God has given us, every single one of us, especially as we get older, we recognize how this body is deteriorating. No matter how much we try to keep it in shape or whatever, we'll never be able to outlive it. Because it's not about this. "For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body, and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear on the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, not even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. All these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, as he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Understanding that this is the second letter that we have that Paul has written to this church in Corinth, and he's working through this thing with this group of people, and they want to understand some things. And one of the things they need to understand, as Paul is trying to describe them, is that, listen, when you are in Christ, you are a new creature. The old things have passed. Now, that doesn't mean that when we come to Christ that we wake up and we look in the world and just everything becomes perfect in our lives. That's not what's being said. Paul understood this. These people understood this. I think sometimes people take these scriptures like, well, if I'm really a new creation, then nothing else will bother me ever again. Don't forget this. The new things that have come into our lives once we are a new creation is the Holy Spirit. Before you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, before you repent of your sin, before you invite Jesus in to be a Lord of your life, you are living according to yourself. You're not walking with the Holy Spirit. But when you do those things, when you repent of your sin, when you recognize and you invite Jesus in and say, I need something new, I need something different, I need this Savior who is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes into your life, then he brings with him teaching, guidance, conviction, comfort, peace, strength. Not always in the way that we think it comes. We look at things that happen in the world, we're like, oh man, here's a person who's a Christian. Certainly they're going to win office, or they're going to win this game, or they're going to win this, whatever it might be, because they're a Christian and God's just going to bless them with a win and they're going to be the top of the world. That doesn't happen that way. That's not what's being talked about. When we look at the things in the world around us and we're looking at these fleshly things, we get lost here. And that's what the disciples were looking at too. You go to Acts chapter 1 and they're talking to Jesus right before he ascends. Lord, is it now that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Is it now? They were still locked in this looking here. They were still locked in. Even after 3.5 years of Jesus, even seeing Jesus go on the cross, be put in the grave, rise again, walk with them for 40 more days, they were still looking here. Is it now that this is going to happen? Is this what we've been waiting for? We have to have a different perspective. When we are made to be a new creature, it's not about this physical body. It's about how the Spirit works within us, how we receive the Spirit of God, how we interact with God. We now know as we look around the world, we look at the things of this world, Satan has many things out there to try to deceive God's people. Are we going to be deceived by them? And the Spirit says, don't be deceived by this. We know these things are out there. They're blatant lies trying to turn us away from God. We have the Holy Spirit to bring about these teachings. John chapter 14, 15, and 16. And Jesus tells about who the Holy Spirit is, and he's going to ask the Father to send this Holy Spirit into our lives. For what purpose? To bring to remembrance of who Jesus is, his teachings, to bring about change in our lives, to understand that we are a new creation in God, that these old has passed, that, you know, this sinful life, the way that you used to live, it's put behind you. You don't have no longer have to walk in that. You no longer have to be burdened by that, tied down to that, because God has come to lift you up out of that. Through Jesus, his Son, he has come to lift us up out of that, to walk with us beyond the burdens that are here. Yes, we're going to be burdened. Yes, we're going to experience troubles, but we're going to be able to look at them and experience them in a much different way than we ever have before. It struck me whenever Joe talked about the marriage perspective of this, because the Bible talks about marriage. He links our understanding of this to marriage. Like, what does this mean? Ephesians chapter 5 talks about this, right? That's one of the biggest places in Scripture that we see God's view of marriage, what this should look like. And we look around the world, and it's not being lived out very many places. But it ties back into this relationship that first and foremost we have with Jesus, because we, as the church, are the bride of Christ. We're related that way. And we see the sacrifice that Jesus made as the bridegroom. The sacrifice that he made for his bride. It should be a strong point for us as men to understand what that really looks like. So you want to understand that, read Ephesians chapter 5 and see what that looks like. A lot of guys like to take Ephesians chapter 5 and say, women, be subject to your men. Right there it is, right? And that's where the men like to stop. How about as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her? Where are we going on that one? Right? But as the bride, what's it say about the bride? We are supposed to love and support and respect. And that's what we do as we look at Jesus. We are the bride of Christ. And when you're involved in and Job mentioned a bad marriage, what does that relationship look like? Are you praying for your spouse? Are you, being obedient with that prayer? If the Lord's pointing out something in your life and you're like, you know what, I'm not living the right way with my spouse as I should, are you then taking that and saying, you know what, I need to do better in that area? When the Holy Spirit gives us guidance, we have to respond. We have to be obedient. We have to be active in that. The Holy Spirit's not just going to fix it. He didn't just take my wife and say, you know what, honey, you're right. Because I wasn't totally right. No matter how much I thought I was right about something, God said, you're missing the point of what it means to be right and wrong. You're misunderstanding what that looks like. What does that look like tangibly to be right and wrong? We like to win an argument, right? It's not about winning the argument. It's about supporting one another for the kingdom. Giving honor and glory to God. It's like when someone says, you know what? Make sure whenever you get in the morning, put on our armor of God. Maybe you sit there and go, what does that even mean? How can I tangibly, what does that look like? When you read about the parts of the armor of God, you start to understand it means I need to be in my word in the morning. It means I need to be in prayer in the morning. If I'm supposed to get up and first thing I got to do is get dressed with the armor, I better be doing these things. That's tangibly what the armor of God looks like as I put it on. If I want my shield of faith, I'm like, man, my shield of faith, it really seems really small. If I'm supposed to be stopping the arrows of the devil, increase my faith, Lord. How do we increase our faith? We participate in the word and in prayer and in fellowship with other believers. That's what we do. Those are the tangible things we can do. That helps us to grow our faith. That helps us to be stronger in the Lord. That helps us to recognize His power in us. Not our own power, His power in us. He has set these things aside. He has ordained this so that we can experience this and live in the newness as that new creation in Christ. We don't recognize anyone according to the flesh. We recognize this new creature as Paul was speaking to these people, right? So that verse 20 says, we can be and act as ambassadors for Christ. What does that look like? What does that look like? You know, it's interesting because we played church softball yesterday. We had a church softball tournament. Right? And everyone knows how church softball goes. There's songs about it, I think. It's interesting because when I think about this, supposedly what we're doing is we're going to a place to play as the church. Everybody in that league should be a part of a church, part of the family of God. And so this should look like what? Pretty good day. But we get in these situations where we let other things bother us, right? And we let these things come to the surface. We've got to deal with these things, right? It's how we deal with these things, right? How is the Holy Spirit working in our lives and how are we responding in these situations? That's what it comes back down to. The Holy Spirit isn't there to give us power over somebody. It's the power over sin in our lives so that we can live a life that reflects God, so we can be ambassadors of Christ, so that whenever we get done with the place, we can say, yes, someone saw Jesus in us. We are supposed to reflect Christ. That's what this life's about, no matter where we're at. I used a softball tournament from yesterday because it was just yesterday. And as always, things get a little bit out of control and a little bit crazy here and there. How can we simmer that down? It's only by our understanding of who Jesus is and what He has done for us and us putting our faith in Jesus and us walking with Jesus and even in those moments of time. I understand that we're, in our humanness, who we are, especially as guys, we're very ultra competitive. We have this thing called testosterone, and boy, we're guys. God made us that way for a reason, for a purpose. Now we have to keep that under control. We have to work with Him and through these things, right? It's how we will respond. Are we going to look like ambassadors or are we not? What does that look like? How are the words that are coming out of our mouth? What do they sound like? What do our actions look like? Would it reflect Jesus? Would you say, yep, that reflected Jesus in all of our lives? It's difficult, but this is the call for us as Christians. It's the call for us as Christians. It's not to say that if we mess up a little bit here and there. Okay, we got to bring it back in. We got to reel it back in and get back on the right path. And that's what the Holy Spirit's here for, to bring us back into that guidance and say, hey, here we are. We missed the mark a little bit. Let's get back on pace. New creation in Christ, living by the Holy Spirit, to be ambassadors of Christ. Because God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. It's not about some of these things that we see and do in the world. It's about the kingdom. Verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That's one of those things you see on coffee mugs all the place. I walk by faith, but not by sight. Do we? I laugh about these bumper sticker messages that we put on coffee mugs and things like that because I heard one of the Duck Call Room podcasts with the Robertson, Cy Robertson, and all these guys getting together, and the one Robertson had tattooed on his forearm and said, I surrender all. And the pastor came up to him after church and said, if you really want to make that true, shouldn't it say, I surrender some? It's hard for us to surrender all. But that's what God calls, for us to surrender to Him. All of our life is surrendered. Lord, here I am. You saved me for all of eternity. If we're saved, if we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, do you know what He has done for us? He has saved us for all of eternity. He saved us. He pulled us out of hell. Do you understand that? What do we owe Him? He said, I want you to follow me and walk with me. That's what I want. I want you to know me, live with me. I want you to love me. I want you to love others. I want this life that I walk here on earth, I want you to reflect that. Doesn't mean that we have to give up everything that we... It means that we have to use everything that God blessed us with and glorify Him, to live this kingdom lifestyle. That's what these things mean. All too often we take these things out of perspective and we miss the point of what He's saying. We walk by faith, not by sight. And if we walk by faith, the other thought I had with this week as I was thinking about this is, then we better have pretty good faith. Our faith better not be too small if we're going to walk by it. We better make sure that we have a faith in God, that whenever something comes against us or somebody comes against us or something comes against us, that we have the faith to stand up and not be afraid. We've heard songs all day talk about, I do not fear. I'm not afraid of anything that comes against me. Why? Because I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm a child of God. There's no fear. My son just had me watch this movie. I haven't gotten through all of it yet. But it's about this young man who becomes a medic and goes into the military and goes into service. And he doesn't carry any gun or anything with him. He goes in just to go in to rescue people. And he trusts in God to keep him safe. And he goes, I don't know how many rescues he makes. But he just trusts in God to go in. And he's a medic, so he goes in, comes back out. Goes in, comes back out. And I'm not saying not to have guns. Please don't take this and turn this and twist my words. What I'm saying is, though, there's a man who just said, you know what? This is what God's called me to do, and this is the way I'm going to do it. And he just trusted in God for it. What do you trust in God for? What is it in your life that God's calling you to say, just trust in me. I'm going to put faith in God through this, and I'm going to walk this way, and this is what I'm going to do. This is what He's called me to, and I'm going to trust Him in this. What is it? What is it in your life that God's speaking to you about? Because that's what this is about today. Right now, in this moment of time, what's God saying to you? Where is your faith weak? Where are things, you know, where does it feel like I don't feel like I'm a new creation? Where's the struggle at? Am I living as an ambassador of Christ? Does it look like that? On Sunday mornings, I'm doing really great. How about Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays, right? It's this life that we live every single day for God because He has come. He has made us a new creation. We haven't done that ourselves. He's pointed out our sin, and He tells us, get away from it, set it aside, repent of it, turn back to me. He says, now walk with me. Every single day. This isn't something that we do part-time. This is something that God has given us, this great opportunity to know Him and walk with Him every day. Are you doing that in your household? Are you doing that in your workplace? When Jesus says, you're going to be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to all the world, He starts in Jerusalem. I think about that. We were talking about that this morning in Sunday school class. Am I doing this in my life with my wife and my kids? Am I ambassador of Christ right now with my wife and my kids? Am I leading them to Jesus every day the best I can? Are we doing kingdom work together in my household? What does it look like? Because there's no way we can step outside of that and live for Christ if we're not first doing that there. And I think the reason Jesus says that is because I think we'll all agree, sometimes the hardest place to do those things is with the people that know us the best. Because the struggle's there, and it's like, oh, I already know. It's like, listen, if you're really a new creation, live it out. Walk in it. Start first with your spouse and your kids. If your kids are already grown, go with your spouse. Do these things. See how God moves through these situations. Do you trust God today? Do you trust Him to move in and through these situations as you are being obedient in them? Do you? That's what faith is. I'm going to trust in God with my life. That no matter what He has said, we talked about this last week. Do you trust God with your life? Do you trust God that if you have to, I don't know what's going to come down to sometimes for some Christians. I worry about Christians and some of their jobs. I do. They get in some of these situations and school situations and places like this where they ask you kind of not to live with a Christian mentality. How are you going to respond? Are you going to stand firm on the word? But let me tell you something, guys. If you're going to stand firm on the word, it can't just be in one certain area. Your life has to look like Christ. You'll be standing firm everywhere, not just in one spot and say, well, I'm going to stand up against this. You have to be standing firm on the word. You have to be firmly planted. Don't be fooled. Don't say, well, I'm doing this over here. Why isn't God moving? Well, if you're living in sin over here, you're not really walking with God. We have to understand that. We have to recognize that. That's what's hindering us. That's what's hindering our relationship. That's what's hindering our growth. That's what's hindering the power. We read whenever we do communion once a month, we read how they took the power of God and they weren't understanding. They weren't living by it. It says, because of this, some of you are sick and dead. We read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, hey, husbands, if you aren't being the spouse that you're supposed to be, the godly spouse, guess what? Your prayers are going to be hindered. These are things that God has told us. So we think, well, that can't happen because I'm living like a Christian here. If we're not submitting all of our life to Christ, every part of it, our home life, our job life, every part of it, we're saying, I'm going to walk with Jesus and make my life look like Jesus everywhere. And something's hindering that. What is hindering that for us? And every one of us has an individual situation that we have to deal with. What's God saying to you about that part of your life? Jesus didn't die for us not to receive power. He died for us to be saved and receive kingdom power given to us by Him through the Holy Spirit. The power of God the Father into our lives. What's hindering us? The only thing that hinders us, guys, is us and our lifestyles, our obedience to God and His Word. So where are we failing? And just because we're failing or missing it doesn't mean that we've failed or that it's over. If you're hearing it right now and we're breathing, it's like, okay, now I have an opportunity. We have an advocate with the Father who is in heaven right now interceding for us. But we have to make the commitment. We have to live as the new creation. We have an opportunity today, church. You want to be an ambassador of Christ? You want to glorify God with your life? You want to go out there and have people say, that person is a Christian, and that person knows Jesus. It's because your life will look different. You won't respond the same way. Things will be different. So what might be holding you back today? What are people seeing? And don't take what I'm saying as any kind of a condemnation from me at all. If you're hearing something, the Holy Spirit's giving you a little poke, respond to Him. That means He loves you. He's trying to give you guidance. He's calling you back in, saying, come on, let's go. I love you. This isn't like, oh, man, you missed the mark. You're out of here. See ya. That's not what it's about at all. It's an opportunity every single day to step up, to be redeemed, to be restored. Don't pass the buck and don't push it off. Don't be like Adam and Eve. Oh, you know, Lord, it was the woman you gave me. You know what, Lord? It was that serpent over there. Finger pointing never wins. Anyone ever been in a fight with your spouse? You start finger pointing, good luck. Bring up all these past things. Well, I do this and I do this. You start having these big peeing contests about who does the most. How do those turn out, guys? Really good. At least not in my household, they don't. Why? Because those aren't problem solving. We all know the problems. We can all point them out. What's the solution? The solution is living for and with Jesus. That's the solution. But we have to be intentional about it. And the more we keep putting it off and thinking it's just going to happen magically, it's not a magic pill, guys. It's not a magic pill. We have to be intentional about that. I'm going to invite the praise team back up here to sing and lead us in song as we close up our service today. I don't know what God said to you through this. God laid this message on my heart, and I just, all I know is I heard Jonathan speaking from Ephesians, I heard Joe talking about the power of prayer, and it all ties into this and just who we are in Christ and how we are to live in Christ and what that looks like. And each one of us knows personally what we're going through. I don't know. I'm not in your brain, and you don't want to be in mine, I promise. What is it, though? What's hindering us? What's holding us back? What's the Holy Spirit saying right now? Whenever you ask, well, Lord, I do this and this, but where am I failing? And the Holy Spirit's going, right here. Let me show you. These altars are open. I know we rarely have people come up at the end of service in an altar call. And I don't know what that is about. I don't know if there's something hindering the Spirit moving, or if maybe you're just sitting there and gripping the back of the seat and going, I'm not going up front because no one's going to see me go up front. Don't make it about that. Don't make it about who sees you, who's here. It's about you and your Father in heaven who loves you, who sent his Son to die for you, who sends the Holy Spirit to bring about this thing we call conviction that we take as a bad word, but it's really a good word so that God can work with us. So if you're feeling something, that's good. That means you're still sensitive to the Spirit. Sensitive to the Spirit means you still hear it. It's like, oh, okay. And we have a loving Father who says, just come to me. And yes, you don't have to come to these altars. Man, I'm going to tell you something. When you start coming to the altar, the first time I ever did it, it wasn't easy. Man, I'll tell you what. Coming to that altar. We talked last week a little bit about what an altar means, sacrifice. I'm going to sacrifice myself, right? Romans 12, be a holy and living sacrifice for God. That's our spiritual service of worship. We come to the altar. We say, Lord, yeah, I'm struggling. I'm fighting. I need help. We do. We all need help. There's not a single one of us in this room today or in the world that doesn't need the help of the Lord. Not one. Not one. What are you fighting? What's the Lord talking to you about? Come. As we sing these songs to the Lord, come. He wants to talk to you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to hear from you. He is active in our lives, guys. This isn't something he's walked away from us. He's here. He's here. Come as we sing.